Welcome back to Say Brother Radio. I'm here again. This is Lady B. I'm here with our guest, Sharon Hinton, our local celebrity. She's going to expand more put more information on the table about Black Teachers Matter. We touched upon that in our last couple of interviews. And Sharon, welcome to Say Brother Radio, WBCA, LPFM 102.9, and BNN TV 23.
Thank you for having me back. This is part three, man. You and I can really talk, boy. We can go.
We go. We're communicators. We should be able to talk.
Well, that's true. But you know, I know professors who have a lot of PhDs and they can't teach their way out of a paper bag. So just because you have the accreditations doesn't mean you can do what you say you can do. But I appreciate you having me back, and I'm honored for you saying all this thing. We're just out here doing the work. I never did it for any titles or any come up or anything like that. I just saw a need, and God gave me the designs to be able to do what we're doing, and we're on the ground trying to save lives and elevate Black people.
That's right. So tell us about the, before we go more in depth in the Black Teachers Matter, tell me about what you're doing specifically right now.
Oh my God. So what I'm doing right now, and my team, I got this dynamite team that is outside. I got to read the title because I want to get it right. The Hiram Grand Lodge and Bay State Grand Chapter Youth Development Center. So we're in Dorchester on Talbot Avenue, literally giving out masks and hand sanitizer and gloves to people in the community that have come up to the Carver Lodge that's right next door. And we're handing that out underneath the Black Teachers Matter Incorporated organization and a grant by the Boston Public Health Commission. So there are boxes of food that are being given out next door. And we're also giving out personal protection equipment, PPE, masks and gloves and hand sanitizer, literally right now.
Will you be doing that?
When? How long?
How much longer?
As long as the grant holds out. The grant ends February, and I have to give a shout out to an amazing Black vendor. Courtney Gray, who's working with the Boston Public Health Commission, made sure that small businesses and small organizations on the ground got some of this money coming from the federal government. And it came down to the Boston, from the feds, from FEMA, down through the Boston Public Health Commission, down to us. And we're one of 119 organizations that are doing different things around COVID-19. So we decided that we wanted to really address what is a little bit of a great challenge in terms of saving teachers and students. And so we made sure that this money stayed in the community, stayed with Black people, because what sense does it make? Black teachers matter, and we're not giving money to Black people in the Black community to save Black teachers and Black students and Black families. Now, let me be clear. In Black History Month, being Black, ain't nobody coming to save us. We have to do what we need to do for each other. And Black Teachers Matter and what we're doing is part of our little bit that we can do. There's 119 organizations that got $4 million coming down from FEMA. And at that point, we had like 30 days, which was the end of 20, to be able to turn this money around. That was impossible. And Mayor Marty Walsh extended it to the end of February. So when you asked me how long is this ever going to go on, this particular grant, the monies for this grant end the end of February 2021. But the effort that we're doing is ongoing. We're incorporated now as a 501c3, but we've been doing this work for the last 6 years. And a friend of mine, Leon Rock, I got to give him a shout out, community development guru, reached out to me days after the commencement caravan that we did last year, celebrating over 4,000 Boston Public High School seniors who are graduating and college seniors. 2 days after that, he said, okay, you've been doing this for a while. Let's make it formal. Let's make it a real deal. And I took my stimulus money. I took that stimulus check and I flipped it around and started Black Teachers Matter. So, you know, I looked at it and I said, I've got plenty of bills and plenty of people that need to be paid, but how do I put the seed in the ground so this reaps a harvest bigger than the $1,200, which is not enough. It's definitely not enough. But what we're trying to do is make it more than enough when it comes to saving people's lives. And I've got a great partnership here at Hiram. a great partnership with Prince Hall Masonic Lodge in Grove Hall. And we're working with them to actually develop curriculum so we can do after school programs and Sunday programs, because we're about here connecting Black teachers. And because representation matters, and having a Black teacher in the classroom shows that that's important, not only for Black students and Brown students, but also for white students. You need to see someone in a position of authority that knows what they're talking about, and what to be able to get knowledge for them and respect them. So that's what we're doing.
Okay, what is the objective of Black Teachers Matter?
The objective of Black Teachers Matter is to amplify, empower, and support the voices and the presence of Black educators, period. Black educators, whether we're in the classroom, college classroom, we're in the streets, we're in the library, people need to know the importance of Black teachers. And I was talking to a friend of mine earlier. We're doing research and on Black teachers, the ones in Boston, the ones who have been at the forefront of the civil rights movement. Malcolm, I posted on our website, www.blackteachersmatterinc.org, the importance of Black teachers, the data that shows the impact of Black teachers. And so we're there about elevating and amplifying and supporting the voices and the presence of Black teachers.
Okay, so who has joined you in creating this organization?
At first it was me and God, no joke. It's me and God, but I have an amazing board. There's seven of us. We have board members in LA, in Rhode Island, in Boston, in South Dakota, in Maryland, in DC. I'm missing somebody. And then we're also expanding the board, and we have partnerships in Ghana, in Liberia, and in Cameroon. And then we've got partners in organizations like BEAM and We Are Better Together. We've got a bunch of organizations, the Peace Institute, Black Boston COVID-19 Coalition. They're, as we are doing this work, and there are individual teachers that are also on our advisory board that are in colleges and universities and Boston Public Schools and in METCO. So we're building this organization, and more people are coming and supporting us. We have a Facebook page. We've got Twitter, Instagram. We're going all out. We have young people involved in this organization too that are keeping us on our toes. Kamani James, who is the student representative of the Boston Student Advisory Council, and also he's the president of the Boston Student Advisory Council and the student rep on the Boston School Committee. He's helping us. So we have young people that are helping us. We've got elected officials that are helping us. And we've got people from all walks of life. So it's not just Black people. It is everyone that sees the effort that we're doing and coming and joining us. And it's amazing. It's just amazing. It's ballooning.
That sounds fabulous. Now, Black Teachers Matter came about after Black Lives Matter, obviously. Was that the incentive to get started?
No. And we actually came about around the same time. And there was also a question from my board whether or not we wanted to even use that name because of the controversy of the particular organization, Black Lives Matter. So we're not officially affiliated with them, but we will partner with anyone and any organization that is about liberating Black people and Brown people, Indigenous people of color through education. We'll partnership with anybody, but there's no official affiliation organizationally with Black Lives Matter.
So the mission of Black Teachers Matter is specifically what?
Changing the landscape of education to empower Black people and Black teachers.
So are you trying to change the direction of education in the school systems around the world?
We're starting here. We're actually headquartered in Boston. And then we have a plan to expand the organization, build the organization, expand the organization, and promote what we're doing in terms of providing culturally competent, socially responsible curriculum. We're affecting and advocating against the school-to-prison pipeline to change that, to change the disciplinary procedures that are happening in the classroom, to change the pedagogy and the way we teach history and Black history, and the effect that the presence of Black teachers have in education from K through 12, from prenatal to in the womb, because you have to affect the mothers and the fathers all the way up. through colleges and universities. I'm actually have been accepted to get my Doctor of Education at Northeastern University, going to get my doctorate. My daughter is now in her master's degree program. So we're about providing access and then even influencing the environments that teachers are teaching in, because a lot of times that's really toxic when it comes to being a Black and Brown teacher. So giving them changing environments, we actually are passing out, we passed out little health and wellness bags to the specific teachers. And there's a specific box of PPE that we have for teachers, cleaning supplies. We've got visors for special education teachers and students because they need to be able to see facial expressions. So we actually, part of the PPE specifically for teachers are the nano masks, which are the N95s, because they have high contact in the classroom, and also the visors and the shields. So we are about supporting Black teachers wherever Black teachers need support, even to providing yoga workshops, relaxation workshops. So we're about the Black teacher, about the environment that the Black teacher is in, and about the students that that Black teacher touches.
So the students that you're talking about impacting, they are not just Black students, are they?
No. They're all sorts of students, because it's important for students of other cultures and ethnicities to see a Black teacher too. When we did a survey of on Facebook, it was an informal one, not really a scientific one. When did you get your first Black teacher? You'd be surprised. Well, maybe not, you wouldn't be surprised, but most people be surprised that it's not a regular occurrence that people have exposure to a Black teacher and the impact that that teacher had. So it actually impacts everyone in the classroom. I know that when I was teaching a class at Massachusetts Communications College, and this reflects the experiences that I've heard from a lot of Black teachers, we tend to be questioned more about our credentials. And I remember this little young white boy saying, you know, starting some trouble and saying in front of the class, what makes you think you're qualified to teach us? This is a college class. And I said, let me get this straight. You want to know what credentials I have to qualify me to teach you? I said, well, first off, there are other people at a higher pay grade than you that actually have already vetted me, seen my qualifications, seen my resume, and they're paying me to teach you what I already know. But let me go down in my resume. And I kept telling him, I did that. I have a master's degree in this. I have a bachelor's degree in that. He said, okay. I said, no. You asked the question, so you'll wait and hear my credentials. Mm-hmm. And so that has happened to me. And that was with a student, and he calmed down. And that doesn't happen to white teachers, but it does happen on a regular basis to Black and Brown teachers. And that also happened to me on an administrative level. And I know I'm not just speaking for myself. There are other Black teachers that will go into an environment and we're way overqualified, and we're either not given the opportunity to progress or not given the respect and the recognition for what we already know and what we do. So we're fighting on so many different levels to be able to say, yes, we're here. This is not just because of affirmative action. And there is a book that's out called Mediocre that actually talks about how white males can be mediocre and get these high paying positions and never have to qualify who they are or justify what kind of credentials. And we have to do it every single day, especially if you're a Black woman. You're always questioned. And if you're bad behind, I'm cleaning up the cable TV. If you're a bad behind Black woman, we're never seen as being qualified or being justified or appreciated. Malcolm X even said, the most disrespected person is the Black female, the most disrespected person. And statistics show that we are the most educated. We're the most highly educated and qualified. And because we're so bad behind, we make it look easy, like we breathe. And then people think that they can do it too. And you can't handle the smoke. You can't handle the smoke, which is why they're so afraid of us. Yes, we're coming on strong because we can't help it. We can't help it.
Okay, at this moment, I'm going to do our ID, and then I want to go to a break. This is WBCA LP FM 102.9 and BNN TV channel 23. I wanted the opportunity to take a moment so we could change gears. The gear I want to go to is, what happens to the Black men who are being educated at this point? Unfortunately, as you spoke of earlier, Sharon, going from, you said grade school to, no, what did you say? Say it again. I want you to say it again.
In terms of the educational process?
Yeah, we're going, they get tracked right into the prison system.
School to prison pipeline.
School to prison pipeline, okay.
So what happens, which most people don't really know or understand, only because they're not in this space, prison cells are literally built on the statistics from the third grade reading scores. Let me say it again. There is a mechanism that says we need, based on who can read and who can't read in the third grade, we know you're not gonna make it through the system, you're more likely to commit crimes, so therefore let's get ready for you and build a prison cell. So there's that aspect of it. Then there's also the arbitrarily punitive disciplinary procedures and policies that are enacted in every school, but mostly public schools. And there are specific Boston public schools that have a track record of disproportionately disciplining dark-skinned Black girls and Black males that are suspended and disciplined and expelled at higher rates, 6 and 8 times the amount in the Boston public school.
Based on their complexion.
Based on their race and their complexion. So you have Black students overall, they're being disciplined at higher rates, but then you also have darker skinned Black girls who are being disciplined at higher rates and Black boys who are being disciplined at higher rates. They're being given detention, being expelled, and they're being given suspensions. And so if you do that and you're disrupting education, which is the way that you get a better job, and it affects, you know, what you do in terms of where you graduate from, the level of education impacts what kind of job you can get, impacts how much money you can get, impacts where you live, impacts interrupting that poverty cycle. If you can't do that, and you've only got bills and no way to pay those bills, most people will turn to crime. The difference is when white folks turn to crime, it's either usually not, even though it's legally a crime, they don't get arrested at the same rates. They don't get evicted at the same rates. They do not spend as much time in the prison system. So the school to prison pipeline has to be disrupted. Also, when you look into the schools, you don't see, and you go to these white schools, you don't see metal detectors. You don't see the metal detectors that their kids have to go through before they even go to class. You don't see their bags getting searched before they even go to class. You don't see that happening. And you don't also see the amount of the lack of restorative justice, restorative circles. In other words, the restorative circle is, okay, we know that you did wrong, but we want you to still stay in the community. How do we all work that out? So that I'm making this a lot more simplistic than what it really is. That's but there's alternatives to what is happening to our kids is not being employed, even you have the policies and procedures in place.
Yes. One of the things that I remember from high school, and I am alum of Burke High School, Jeremiah E. Burke High School. I went back there to give a lecture. And when I went in, there was a metal detector and I didn't understand what was happening. And I stopped because I've done many prison programs. And that's that hit me first when I went into Walpole and those kind of places was their metal detectors. That's the first line of defense that they're going to hit for any visitor coming in. So that's what it made me remember. And I said, why am I going through this? And they said, well, we have to do it based on our population. I said, isn't your population school children? They said, yes, but we're expecting violence at any time. So what would you say to that?
You know, what's really disheartening and really makes me angry, I have to distance myself. There is research that shows that when it comes to our children, and we're talking about Tamir Rice, we're talking about children, our children, and especially our children are perceived as being adults even when they're children, right? They're children. And so when the police and people in authority, white people in authority, look at our kids, our babies, they automatically assume that they're older and they start treating them like adults. So you have people that are being punished. You have people that are being arrested. You have people that are being treated by law enforcement, and I've never gotten out of my mind several different videos I've seen on social media where there are police in the schools and police in the classroom, and because the teacher doesn't know how to handle that student, all of a sudden they call the police, and that cop is smacking or punching or beating or dragging some little kid, somebody's child, all the way down. And recently, there was a little girl who somebody in the family called, and it was supposed to be a behavioral, you know, it was a mental illness kind of a thing, a behavioral thing, right? The police were called, and they started pepper spraying this 8-year-old girl, pepper spraying her and handcuffing her and putting her in a police car. And the policeman said, "Stop acting like a child." And she said, "I am a child, 8 years old. This is what they're doing to our kids. And they've been doing it ever since we have been here 400 years in the country because they get away with it." So they do that. And then also when it comes to teachers, if there's a Black male teacher, all of a sudden you're the disciplinarian. Or in the absence of a Black male teacher, they look at the Black woman teacher who's not allowed just to teach. All of a sudden they got a behavioral issue because we don't have enough counselors in the school to deal with, because our kids are traumatized. This COVID-19 thing is traumatizing to our kids. But if you go, or there somebody in their family's died or gotten shot or something like that, in other schools they have, and you've heard it, I've seen it, there was a shooting or there was a fire. Oh, we're gonna have make counselors available. Right? That doesn't happen in our schools. We're going to help you through this trauma. We recognize this is trauma. With Black people, they figure, oh, well, you all deal with that anyway. It's your fault. So we don't care. So just deal with it. That's part of your, you know, so they, you know, when I say they, I'm talking about not, I'm just not talking about a specific group of people. I'm talking about the system, the people that are in the system to maintain us being oppressed and trying to get us to feel like what we're feeling is not real. If I'm waking up angry in the morning, there's a reason for it. If there are kids that are acting out, then find out what it is that's going on in their life that maybe you can walk them through. If there are kids that in the school that you put a metal detector up because you feel kids are coming in with weapons more, then find out, are they coming through a gang territory? Are they coming through someplace where they don't feel like they're safe? Yes. And so they're being penalized because of the condition of their neighborhood and the lack of security where they live. Don't just penalize them at this end because these kids don't feel safe. And so that's the whole culture that we want to change. I know as a Black teacher, because and plus I'm a Black mama, if there's a discipline issue in my class, I just give them that look. And every Black mother has it, that you got that look, like straighten up, stop acting up. And every Black child knows what that, they know what's coming afterwards. So they straighten right up. And that's you don't right. have to put them on detention or suspension. You have that respect when you walk into the classroom and they know that you're not boring them. This is, they actually want to learn and they self-discipline. I have not had to go into a classroom and put people on suspension and expelling them in detention because I set the atmosphere, I set the parameters. I'm here to teach you, I'm here to empower you. I have X amount of time, I need you to control yourselves and let's get busy.
How are the school systems working with you guys, with the Black Teachers Matters organization? Are they
the teachers and the parents and the students and amazingly supportive and receptive. But we're talking about a system. And what we're talking about is disruptive. It's disruptive to the status quo. If I'm coming in there and saying, if your curriculum is talking about immigration, and when you're talking about immigration, you're only talking about the Japanese and the Italian and the Poles that came in here. And I have students in my classroom that have their own immigration stories. And I'm talking about changing the curriculum to empower my students and to give them a voice, then I just went against the people that voted this curriculum and the standards of this particular school system. So I'm a problem. I'm a troublemaker. When I applied twice to be in the Boston School Committee, which votes on the budget, which talks about curriculum, which talks about the plans and the programs that are in the Boston Public Schools, I wasn't, and way overqualified, right? I expected pushback, and that's what happened. And when you look at the political agenda, because the school committee is appointed, not elected, you look at the school, you look at the agenda of the mayor, and you look at what's really going on, then you start to wonder, are we really here for the same reason? Are we really here for quality education for all kids? I want every single kid, Black, white, yellow, green, slip sliding, flying and gliding, LGBTQIA, WNLMNOP, I want every single kid to have their best life. And whatever part we can play in providing that best education, which means the best access to opportunities, the best resources so they can find out who they are and who God made them to be, that's what we're doing. We're there to empower our people. And our people are human beings. Our people are human beings, but right now, Black people don't really need help. Black and brown and indigenous people are the ones that are legislated against to be marginalized and oppressed. And that's why I'm focusing on Black people, but I really want human beings to be liberated.
Okay, again, this is WBCA LP FM 102.9, BNN TV, channel 23. Okay, so we are at, I'm sure we're near the end, and I wanna know, now we know we can't raise money on this radio station or BNN TV, but I do want to know what information you can give them in terms of contacting you.
So Black Teachers Matter, www.blackteachersmatterinc.org. You can go to our Facebook page. When you go to our website, you'll find all sorts of ways that you can support us. And we want monetary support. However, there are people that are volunteering. There are people right now as we're doing this show that are volunteering, that are handing out masks. There are people that are doing art for us. There are people that want to teach for us. There are people that are collaborating, that are developing programs with us. There's so much more expertise that we need and so much skills and talents and everything from every single person, whether it's a middle school student, a high school student, a college, an undergrad, a graduate student, a teacher, I'm a retired teacher. We need you. We need your help. And hinton.sharon@gmail.com, hinton.sharon@gmail.com. We're in the process of, we do have a couple of websites. We have one website, we have a Facebook page. You can contact us through that, or you can contact me through the Facebook page too. We need your help.
I know you talk fast, so I want you to give that website one more time.
www.blackteachersmatterinc.org.
Okay. All right. So folks, do y'all have no telephone number for them?
617-777-0657. That's what it is right now.
Okay.
And don't call me with any craziness either, because I will hang up on you.
Okay.
Thank you so much for having me. I really am honored by this opportunity to reach your audience. And I encourage everyone to support. Go hug a Black teacher, COVID, so you can give them the fist bump, or Wakanda forever.
Well, elbows, there you go. I want the listeners and viewers to know that they can also reach us at saybrotherradio@gmail.com. That's saybrotherradio@gmail.com. Very exciting. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I look forward to our encounter again sometime.
Thank you. God bless.
Thank you, audience. God bless you too. Bye-bye. Thank you. Hey, brother.